Hello, everybody in Internet Land. You are in for a major treat. I have editor of the Armenian Weekly, Jenny Kilgian, calling me all the way from the East Coast. Where are you calling from? From Boston,
Watertown,
right?
Massachusetts.
Watertown, Massachusetts. Thank you so much for calling. It's such an honor to speak.
Thank you
with
for having us. I really appreciate it.
So, as I understand it, I mean, this issue is an ongoing issue, of course. We always hear discussions about the Armenian Genocide and when is the United States going to officially recognize it, recognize the at least the terminology of the genocide.
Yes.
And there's always pressure from the Turkish side not to do so. But just recently something happened. I was reading an article about in Germany they were able to remove references to the genocide.
They were, and then they were able to put them back.
I see. And now there's a lawsuit going on in where you are, in Massachusetts, right?
Yes. On October 26th, a lawsuit was filed against the state of Massachusetts that would force the Board of Education to include materials in the state's curriculum that what they call contra-genocide, that contest the historical accuracy of the Armenian Genocide. And what they're alleging is that the Board of Education removed them based on political pressure, and they violated the First Amendment rights of teachers and students, and also of an organization called the Assembly of Turkish American Associations,
mm-hmm.
That they're also cited as plaintiffs in the case.
So I'm sure I'm not the first to think of this, but isn't this sort of like saying there should be something in our textbooks denying the Jewish Holocaust of World War II, to be fair to the free speech of the Nazi movement?
What's interesting is that the plaintiffs, two of whom are teachers, one of whom are a student, aside from that ATAA organization, they say that they accept that Holocaust denial could be taught in school in order to protect the free speech of those people who would deny that the Holocaust ever happened.
So that's
but
more
they
important.
Say that they don't believe those denials to be credible, yet they believe the denials of the Armenian Genocide to be credible.
Mm.
And so the teacher, Bill Schechter is his name, and Larry Aronson is the other teacher, they continue to teach both sides, as they call it, of the Armenian Genocide. They teach the Armenian Genocide perspective. They also teach the Turkish denial as being credible, even though that side was taken out of the curriculum guide. And Ted Griswold is a student. He said that he would want for students to be able to decide which side is true and which side is not. And he said that classmates of his that were taught both sides, some of them ended up thinking that it's just a controversy, kind of shrugged their shoulders and just moved on. But he said majority of them believed that it was a genocide.
Mm.
I, as a journalist, I don't know whether I find this to be academically sound way of teaching students history, but the plaintiffs seem to think that it's valid.
Now, do you find yourself in sort of a difficult position? Are you able to look at this issue as a strict journalist or as an Armenian and editor of the Armenian Weekly? Is it difficult for you to sort of not be clouded with emotion? I mean, I'm
it's
trying to figure out how
difficult.
I would react to, you know, a similar situation where someone was trying to say, you know, well, my denial of the Holocaust is more credible than yours, or, you know.
It's very difficult. It's very difficult to write about someone denying the genocide and not call it genocide denial in a headline or in the text.
Right.
To send it to someone and then imagine that they're looking at it and saying, oh, this person is just another biased Armenian. The father of the student, I spoke to him, and he said, you know, I think my kid could be doing something much better with his time, and ended the interview by apologizing to me. And I told him, you know, you don't have to apologize to me. I'm just a journalist. I'm doing my job. You know, I'm asking the questions. And, you know, since you and your son and his teachers want free speech, I'm just trying to give you guys the opportunity to express what you think is your side. But it's very difficult to try to report on it and have a belief system, to have grown up, you know, hearing the stories of your grandparents that survived, or the stories of people that didn't survive, and, you know, to know that someone is telling you that, "I'm really sorry, your grandparent," or, you know, this lady who was telling me her story and her family was killed and her father was beheaded, you know, "I'm really sorry, but I believe that the Turkish side is credible and the Turkish government is not culpable." Or, you know, the historians that say that the Turkish government had no role or a very minimal role in the genocide, and, you know, that the Armenians also killed other Turks, that makes their side credible and it's not a genocide. It's very difficult to get through stories such as this.
Aside from the obvious political relationship between the United States and the Republic of Turkey, what is it that makes this issue some reason impervious from logic and reality? I mean, it seems to be an issue that never goes away. It seems to be the one, you know, huge mass murder that, you know, regular, educated people are willing to go, "Well, I don't know, maybe..." You know, it seems to take place in a much different part of the hearts and minds of Americans than other genocides. What is it that makes the Armenian genocide different? Do you think it's the Armenians themselves, their race, or do you think it's just because it was a little bit, you know, longer ago?
It could be because it was longer ago. Maybe it has left what is the forefront of people's vernacular, or what they're used to seeing. In its time, during 1915 to 1918, it was widely reported, and, you know, children would sit down and eat dinner, and their parents would tell them to eat all their food because, you know, they should remember the starving Armenians. And the Near East Relief Organization was started because of the Armenian genocide. And even the Harvard newspaper, this is something I came across while I was doing research here, the Harvard University newspaper reported heavily on the Armenian genocide. And the irony is that their newspaper recently put out an article on this lawsuit, which was entirely one-sided, just talking only to the plaintiffs and to the sources that agreed with including the contra-genocide information in the curriculum. And it's just strange to see how different people's perspective is from then until now, and why it's become so easy to just shrug your shoulders and move on and say, "Okay, two groups are arguing about it, we'll just leave them to argue," and not believe that it's a genocide. When I explained it to my classmates when I was in high school, they were surprised to learn that something like this was not included in their history books. Mm-hmm. And it's that kind of lack of education, that kind of ignorance, that leaves Armenians to be incredulous about the denial, and it leaves doors open for people to come in and say the Turkish perspective or the side supported by the Turkish government is credible.
Yeah. How do you win this battle? Is there a victory to be met here? What do you get? Let's say in the end you're able to have an official acknowledgement that indeed this happened. What is it that you hope will change?
Wow. That's something that's 90 years in the making.
Yeah.
That a government has denied that they committed the first atrocity of the 20th century against a group of people and tried to exterminate them from what was their indigenous land.
It wouldn't be so hard for them, because it's not like it's even the same technical government.
And a lot of people today will come out in support of having the Turkish government and the Turkish people go through a sociological change of sorts, to be able to acknowledge as a people that their forefathers, their ancestors, committed something like this. And I think that might be a first step, is to change their mentality in order to understand why Armenians have felt victimized for 90 years, why they still fight this battle in the diaspora, why they want people to be educated about it. Because if we leave it up to people like Bill Schechter and Larry Aronson and Ted Griswold to say that historians should be debating this,
mm-hmm.
where there's no longer a debate, and historians pretty much hands down have accepted that it was a genocide, and, you know, International Association of Genocide Scholars, every time a newspaper will refer to the genocide as alleged or say that Armenians say, these people are steadfast in their cause, and they'll write letters to the editor saying that it's irresponsible of journalists to report this way when it indeed is a genocide. So for students and teachers to say that it's up to the students to decide what is historical fact and what is historical fiction, I think that's just putting off the inevitable for yet another generation of students and people to be confused
yeah.
about what's the truth. Why should we let students decide what's historical fact and fiction? You don't let a student decide that he believes the Holocaust didn't happen. You know, you wouldn't. It just tests all the laws of credulity.
Yeah.
Why would you let them do that about the genocide? That's where the Armenians and the people who are supporting this lawsuit completely differ.
Tell me about the publication that you work for and how it's involved in this whole issue. I mean, this is, you work for a very widespread publication. It's read by many people, but it's from an Armenian perspective.
Yes.
What is the Armenian Weekly?
Well, we are one of the oldest Armenian publications in the world, and we've been around for 71 years, and we serve a diaspora, essentially. We cover information that is from Armenia and from all around the globe, Europe, South America, Canada, all throughout the United States, and we do our best to cover the stories that are important to the communities of all those different countries, and it's situations like this that they're kind of, it touches the hearts of all Armenians throughout the world to see that their history or their story is being denied in a state that actually has recognized the genocide. Massachusetts has recognized the genocide. So when we report on stories like this, for example, we try to make it, you know, local. We try to cover all the bases. We're here. We're on the ground. So in a way, it's fortunate that we're based here so that we can cover it. Otherwise, we have contributors that send us stories based on where they are. We have columnists that report from Michigan, from certain parts of Massachusetts, and standing columns of opinion that also cover the news, that give a perspective or try to explain it to the readers, like what's going on, how is it important that this Massachusetts lawsuit came about, and what's going to happen. Is it really based in free speech? Or is it just another attempt of the Turkish government to deny the genocide? So we try our best to serve our readers in many different capacities, news, community stories, political stories, features, 16-page paper once a week, and, you know, from all around the globe.
The idea of denying the Armenian genocide, do you think the argument is one of pride, like, you know, an I'm right, you're wrong sort of thing, or do you think it's more racist than that, you know, Turkish good, Armenian bad, that it's like, it's not just about proving a point with the terminology, but it's about proving a point about classes of people, our people are better than yours, so we'll never allow the world to see what happened, sort of thing.
The sad fact is, if you think about the terminology, I had a congressman tell me this, which was even more interesting. He said to me, Jenny, doesn't the U.S. government say that people were deported, forcefully deported, they were starved, they were raped, they were killed as they walked from their homes, their homes were burned, they were looted, they were pillaged, don't they say all these things? Yes, Congressman. And he said, don't all those things equal genocide? Yes, they do. And he said, all of these things are included in the U.S. archive. How hard is it for the United States to look back and say, indeed, the Turkish government did commit genocide against the Armenian people? As for the Turkish community in the United States, I think they operate as agencies of the Turkish government, and they try their best to lobby the government not to recognize the genocide, not right. to sign onto resolutions that would support genocide recognition or to give money to Armenia.
Which I guess is one of the starkest differences between the Armenian genocide and what happened in World War II, is that you don't have German communities all over the United States lobbying Congress for a pro-Nazi, contra-genocide argument in children's textbooks.
No, you don't. And, I mean, even in Turkey, there were some trials that took place, and some of the people were found guilty, and they escaped, and they never faced the consequences for what they did, and those records are very few and far between of those trials. And no, you don't have a neo-Nazi perspective being taught as credible. You don't have a side saying that slavery was a good thing. They say it's an embarrassment. They say that our economy at the time was highly reliant on slavery, and it's a damn shame. But to be able to have, to be a teacher, to be able to stand there in front of students and be credible, and to have students trusting you that they will be directed and guided in the right direction, and to say that two sides are credible, both sides are credible, make up your mind, is what I find hard to believe, what other people find hard to believe.
Yeah.
I'd never had a teacher in all my years of going to school tell me that two sides of the story were equally plausible and that it was up to me to decide what I believed, especially on something that has such global ramifications.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the irony is that the teacher, Bill Schechter, he told me that the Armenian side is more popular, and so did Ted Griswold. They both use this term. The Armenian side is more popular. And the teacher said, well, you wouldn't see this being taught in Watertown anyway. I said, why? He said, because there's so many Armenians there. Who would dare teach the Turkish side, the contra-genocide side, in Watertown? And my staff and I, we looked at each other and we said, what difference does it make what side is more popular?
Because
if you're so
education.
Adamant that,
I mean,
it's true,
yeah.
Why wouldn't you stand in the face of an Armenian student, as it were, or anyone that believes what is true, that the genocide happened, and say, no, I think that this side that is being presented by the Turkish government is true or is plausible. The Turkish government, who themselves doesn't teach another side
right.
in their classes, who has a penal code that puts people in jail, that fines their publishing houses, some of their greatest writers, Orhan Pamuk, who has been given the Medici Prize in France, the German Peace Prize, he was up for a Nobel. He said that the Turkish government committed genocide against the Armenian people, and they are trying to put him in jail.
Mm.
So how does a government like that try to assert supposed freedom of speech rights in the United States with the help of a teacher and a student?
It's interesting how, in a sense, this issue happening right now during this global war on terror, or whatever you want to call it, and in a sense, it seems to me that the Armenians are yet again the unfortunate victims of a war that they're not involved in, because part of the reason that this whole argument is still taking place has to do with Turkey being a strong military ally of the United States, and at a time where our allies in that part of the world are, you know, few and far in between, there seems to be an effort in my mind, it would, I would see, you know, that there'd be an effort from this administration to, you know, go easy on this subject, you know, not, don't tick off the Turkish too much because it might affect our adventures in Iraq.
Some of them had done that in the past, and they shot down resolutions to recognize the genocide because of the United States' close relationship with Turkey. Even now, when there were two resolutions on the House floor to recognize the genocide, it was kind of difficult to get them out of committee and to put them to a vote, and that's still in process right now. Because most of the people that had previously been against those resolutions, we weren't sure, the Armenians weren't sure whether they would support this time. And it turns out that they did. A lot of the people that had been against it in the past supported the resolutions this time, saying that Turkey hadn't allowed the United States to use their bases when they first wanted to, when the United States first was going to go into Iraq.
Right.
And so they said, you know, this time we're going to slap Turkey on the hand and push this resolution forward because they proved not to be such a close ally. Now, in light of that, there have been supporters of the Armenian community through thick and thin. Whether Turkey is a strong ally or whether Turkey has done something to hurt their relationship with the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Congressman Adam Schiff, George Rutanovich, they have all been really supportive of these resolutions and have written them and have tried to move them to the House floor. And they have said that whether or not Turkey is a close friend or an ally of the United States, whether or not there's political expediency in maintaining that relationship, it shouldn't stop the United States from recognizing the genocide, from what is already...
Recognizing the truth.
Exactly. From what's already in the U.S. archives, in the historical record. Even President Reagan called it a genocide in one of his proclamations. It shouldn't stop the United States from recognizing the genocide. So there are congressmen and people who will support the Armenian community despite of that relationship, this foreign relations between Turkey and the United States. So,
and, you know, just from this conversation we're having right now, it's got me thinking that this is an even bigger issue than the issue of recognizing the Armenian genocide, because as it relates to this lawsuit that's going on, this issue is about defining what is means. You know, when you're talking about education, I mean, right now we're having issues throughout the Midwest about, it's okay to teach evolution as a theory, but you also have to present an alternate theory.
Right.
And
intelligent
design. Intelligent design, and people should, you know, make up, you know, kids should be deciding what is the truth. It shouldn't be teachers deciding it for them. And obviously that's a completely different issue, but this whole issue of, like, what is the responsibility of educators? Is it to state what we understand to be fact, or is it to present various ideas from various, you know, political perspectives and leave it up to kids? I see a very confused generation on the way.
I do, and I see a very confused group of plaintiffs and attorneys who have said that they're not trying to define what is historical or what is the truth. They're simply trying to assert the freedom of speech rights of the teacher, the student, and the Assembly of Turkish American Associations, where in fact, if you look at the case really closely, if the judge decides that the Turkish side is plausible, that the Board of Education did improperly remove those sites, the judge will be deciding what is history. Whether or not the attorneys can say that, that's what the judge will ultimately be saying, that both sides are plausible and both sides should be taught.
So this issue is actually very important on a national, on an international, but particularly a national scale, in terms of education. Because I think part of the problem is with recognition of the Armenian genocide is that I think a lot of Americans feel that, yes, that's unfortunate for the Armenians. And unless you live somewhere near Glendale, it has nothing to do with your life. But the truth is, this issue is even larger than the issue of the Armenians. It's about.
I think it's going to set a really big precedent if this case goes through, because then the educational system, the curriculum guides across the country could very well be changed in that case.
So people need to be paying attention to this issue, and this, in the long run, it will hopefully be a good thing for.
I think so. I think that the case has not been reported widely enough. I think the case is going to be a watershed event, and it will continue to go through, I think, to the court. It will be heard. And from what I understand, from what I hear, the sides do have their opinions. It's what they've said to me, the plaintiffs, they do have personal opinions on the genocide. The teacher and the student, they think that the Turkish perspective is plausible. The attorneys have said that they think that the contra-genocide perspective is plausible. I don't think that this case is a freedom of speech case in and of itself. And for it to pass that way, for genocide denial to be so thinly veiled in a lawsuit of this kind, it says a lot for the legal system, what can possibly be done. So it remains to be seen what will happen, whether the judge will be able to rule on it as a First Amendment case. But this is what we've understood until now, that's what the plaintiffs have said, that's what the attorneys have said. They joined the case based on freedom of speech. So they're expressing their perspective, they're expressing their viewpoint. Whether or not the curriculum changes, the teachers are still allowed to teach whatever they see as fit.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is teaching the material as being fact or fiction. So if they teach the other side, the Turkish perspective of genocide denial, as being plausible, that's where we begin to see a problem.
Well, you can only do your part, and fortunately,
report on everything.
Your part is a big part as editor of the Armenian Weekly. So,
and I admit it's difficult not to have an opinion on this, not to have a personal opinion on the issue. And you know, one of my heroes, Ben Bagdikian, wrote a book called Double Vision, and he said, as an Armenian, it was very difficult to have just be a journalist, to be unbiased. And you know, everybody will say now that there is no such thing as an objective journalist. But
right.
To be fair, accurate, and balanced, that's all I strive for. That's all my staff strives for. We really try our best to give everybody their fair shake. So we're trying, in this case, to do our best to report all the sides and not to say that they're wrong or they're right, but I'm just telling you what I've heard so far.
Right.
And,
well, you're on internet radio, so I'll just go ahead and say they're wrong on your behalf, and I'll let you do the hard work of real journalism. Jenny, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, John. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Educating
to be on your
me
show.
And the general public about what's going on, because it is important. It's more important than people realize, and whether you have an opinion on one side or the other, I think what's really important is that people have an opinion of some kind, that they realize that this is an issue that's worth looking into and doesn't just apply to, you know, one minority group, but actually has larger ramifications for the way we look at
maybe
education.
In 100 years from now, the people in Rwanda, somebody will turn around and say, nope, their case wasn't a genocide.
Well, absolutely. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, John.
And be well, and I hope to talk to you soon, and I'm sure I'll be reading great things about you.
Thanks.
Take care.
Good night.